Okay, this is an analysis of the Hineni prayer, which we say three times a year, twice on Rosh Hashanah and once on Yom Kippur. And just as background to something that we're going to discuss, Nusach HaTefillah, and especially this particular tefillah. So I'll just cover for a few minutes what is Jewish music and why is it Jewish? What happens? Why? When you hear a certain kind of music played, it doesn't affect your neshama. In other words, as soon as the orchestra plays something that sounds Jewish, it's Jewish to you. So why is it Jewish? So it goes back really to what we call nusach, and the basic nusach hatfila is what we know from Shabbos morning. In technical terms, it's called the Fregish nusach. But when you hear this is what sounds to you Jewish, even to people who are not from. So what they hear is now it's the same Fregish nusach. And since you're old enough and you're not old enough, when Tevye sang in Fiddler on the Roof, he sang yum pa pa pum pa yum pa pum pa. Yeah, he's actually singing da da ya 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 ya. And that, now there are other examples. If you go to Kabbalat Shabbat, you have a little bit of a different nusach. If you go to Avos, you will sing Baruch Ato Adoshem, which is now in major. The other one is in minor, if you know something about music. And so that's in major because it's in major because of the majesty of the words. Baruch Ato Adoshem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu V'Hakel HaGadol. It's in major, but when you get to Kedusha, it changes. And it goes into minor. And then, of course, you'll have, whether it's Yismach Moshe or Tikkun Shabbos, whatever you'll have, or whether it's Mipenei Chatoinu, it will be in minor and will be in one of the modes that to us sounds Jewish. Now, the other thing that will relate to this particular Yontif, the Yontif of the Yomim Noraim, is there are certain what we'll call tunes for the moment. There are certain tunes which are considered to go all the way back to Sinai, and they are called Mi-Sinai tunes. And you know all of them. For instance, Kivodo If you go to any synagogue that has a Western European nusach, which for most modern Orthodox Ashkenazi synagogues, you will find a basic nusach. You will come on the night of Rosh Hashanah and you will hear not something else. You're not hearing something else. Now, you go to a Yemenite shul, you go to a real Eidot HaMizrach shul, you will hear different things. But in terms of us, we could be in Johannesburg, in Tel Aviv, in Paris, in New York, in Los Angeles. We will come to shul and we'll hear other suggested Mi-Sinai tunes are Becha Yechon, and then also the Slicha mode, you know, this is also considered to be very old. And an only other example I'll give you, not to take this too far, is Oleinu. Oleinu l'shabeyach la-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You won't see it, you won't hear it differently for the most part. You'll hear it with some little differences. This chazan will do it that way. But it'll basically be the same. So what I'm saying is that the nusach, especially for Yomim Noraim, you know, where I happen to be davening now in the Young Israel of Fort Lee, there are survivors. And because I learned to daven from a chazan, from a Baal Tefillah, who sang very traditional European nusach, so what I sing is not like that of younger people. I sing like that of older people. The biggest compliment I get is from a 95-year-old who says, what I heard you sing is exactly what I heard in the old country. That's the biggest compliment I can get. And so to people who are old and remember how important the Nesachat Tefillah was, because essentially this is holding us together. That's not to say that learning a piece of Gemara is not holding us together, but in terms of our neshama, in the spiritual sense, we relate to Yontif because the music in shul is the same everywhere, and so that's how we relate to Yontif, and that includes Hokel HaKodosh, which is on the Yontif, basic Yontif. That's something that you're going to hear every place. Okay. So Hineni stands out because it's really the entrance way to the Tefillah. In other words, this is the way in which we are getting ready to daven that very long Shmona Esrei. It sets the stage for what is essentially an exhaustive history lesson, because Malchuyos, Zichronos, and Shofros are really a history lesson, if we're paying attention to the text, where we're going to use 30 different proof texts over the three different sections to declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king, to teach of his chesed to the Avos, and even including, interestingly enough, Noach. You know, sometimes we talk about the Avos, we don't also talk about Noach. But in the Rosh Hashanah davening, we're saying that, you know, the rain came and the rain stopped, so that Noach could continue the Jewish people. So, and of course, finally, to declare revelation. And so the introduction to what we're going to do there, and all of those words, you know, there's a serious amount of words in Musaf Rosh Hashanah, and it's hard to have kavana for that long, but this is the way in which we prepare for that tefillah. So in my own experience, I often, first of all, I start to prepare for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, interestingly enough, in the last hour before going to shul on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, I have what you and I can call test conditions. I have a 25-hour fast, and in the last hour before I go back for Mincha, let's say from 6:30 to 7:30, I'm singing from the Yomim Noraim. That's what starts, and if you come to my house on many late Friday nights, you could hear all of or most of the davening from the Yomim Noraim. And obviously, I am in year number 45, so I know the davening, but the world is different, the family is different, the age is different, the focus is different. So therefore, I happen to take it quite seriously, even speaking now out loud for an hour when Yom Kippur is tomorrow night. Many chazanim wouldn't do that. I'm not one of those crazy chazanim. Everything will, mitzvah Hashem, be okay. But meanwhile, when I put the Sefer Torah back into the Aron Kodesh, I look into the Aron Kodesh, and before I let the fellow close the door, I use that as a chance for my own personal tefillah, for my family and myself, because I feel that as I'm walking from the Aron Kodesh back to the middle to say Hineni, that I am transforming into the Shliach Tzibur, and I have to some extent, move aside my own bakoshes, and I have to focus now on what my responsibility is for the Kahal. Actually, I happen to wear a wedding ring for 42 years. Not only do I remove my watch so I can watch the time, which they say is always takes too long, but I also I also remove my ring. It's so there's nothing, you know, I'm now standing really as that's some of the personal ways in which I do that. I've actually said Hineni about 130 times. There were a couple of times here and there in the 45 years that I missed the day or whatever. One year I was ill and the doctor didn't want to let me daven, so I davened Kol Nidre night, so I never said Hineni that year. I find that it has tremendous power, and it's perhaps one of the most potent tefillos that we say. But certainly this is the tefillah that is focusing on the Shliach Tzibur. Now, many people know so what are the requirements of a Shliach Tzibur, especially for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So some people say that the word Chazan itself suggests the requirements. The Ches is that you have to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to know something in order to understand what you're doing. The Zion stands for Zaken. You have to be, the Mishnah Berurah says, 30 years old. At 30 years old, already many people are supposed to be married, perhaps with children, and therefore, once you are married with children, you have enough of life experience that you could be the Shliach Tzibur. And the Nun is Nasoi, married. And so there is one caveat, and that is called Merutza L'Kahal. That if the Kahal wants somebody, in other words, it's so strong that the Shliach Tzibur is on behalf of the Kahal, that if the Kahal wants somebody who might not fulfill all of those standards, then the Kahal has a right to make that choice. So, for instance, I started when I was 19. It so happens I had a little beard already because I came to YU and we all grew beards just to annoy the dorm counselor. And I have the same beard from 1969, never taken off.
You were stalking that one.
Yeah, it's right. But I was not the right age. Anyway, I was hired by somebody who knew Nusach well and gave me a chance. So meanwhile, serving as the Shliach Tzibur is a serious responsibility. Now, Hinani is really a conversation between the Chazan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Kahal. One of the interesting things about the text is that Hinani moves, the text moves from I to me and you, meaning me and Amcha Yisrael, to sometimes I and God and Amcha Yisrael. It does interesting things that way, which will go into the text, and I'll show you. It's not just only a petition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It moves from stage to stage. The one thing which is clear from the very opening is that the Chazan approaches Hinani with a keen sense of fear and trepidation. What he is asking is life-threatening, as we're told that we don't know, right? There's a scale, and there are one good side and one less than good side, and most of us are considered, or we consider ourselves, Beinonim until Yom Kippur is over. Perhaps Hinani itself is a hint to the word Hineni, and in terms of Hineni, you know, you're saying, I'm here, I'm ready to do the desire of Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm ready to serve as the Chazan. However, what it reminds me of, and it might remind you of something, by the way, please feel free to ask. It reminds us of Avraham saying, Hineini. And it's just saying, you know, that Avraham and Yitzhak, in terms of the Akedah, which is a theme of Rosh Hashanah, as Avraham and Yitzhak saying, Hineini, they are ready, they have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they are ready even to give their life. And we, at the same time, having the same emunah, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Mi yechia mi yamus. What's going to happen? Mi varaz or mi magefa? Who knows? You know, we used to read in Unsana Tevkef all of the different perhaps challenging things that could happen, and you know, by fire and by water, and all of a sudden we live through hurricanes and we live through all kinds of natural tsunamis and all kinds of natural functions where people mamish lost their lives. So this is perhaps a hint for Hineini. Let's go to the second line. The second line in Hineni starts, Bosi Lamod Ulischanin Lifonecha, that have come to stand before you and to pray on behalf of the people of Israel who have sent me. So I want to tell you that I don't repeat, just in general, I don't repeat words. I often daven on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur without repeating any words. In most cases, I repeated only where it was absolutely necessary and certainly never excessively. So,
you still believe in Kadosh, 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 right?
Well, I also believe in Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachem V'chanim. So, over here, I sing, Bosi, Bosi Lamod. Bosi lamod ulehischanein lefonecho. So I do that because who has the right to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu just by walking in? Who? So in other words, I go in slowly, and perhaps it's the same way, you know, I have a couple of things in the text that look like Purim. And maybe, you know, Esther approached the king. She had to save the Jewish people. She didn't just strut in to see the king. She went into the king slowly. So we're also going into the king slowly. So the music that I sing suggests that we're going slower. Now, there's an anecdotal story that one time at Moria, where the Rav Zatzal gave shir, that the Baal Tefillah that I learned from, who repeated these words in Hineni, so somebody asked the Rav a question, is this proper? Because he's repeating words, more repeating words. And the Rav said, not only is it proper, I like to daven where this Baal Tefillah is davening. Because he understands how to approach the king. Okay. So, although Hineni is referred often as the Chazan's Tefillah, the second line already reveals that it's not just the Tefillah between the Chazan and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's right away, Al Amcho Yisrael Asher Shilachuni. They sent me. Let's not make a mistake. The Chazan, after quickly offering that he has not accomplished much, remember, he is nirash v'nifchad. He is trembling in fear, okay? He's quickly letting the public know, even in the first few words, that he was sent by them, okay? In other words, we are in this together. He's sent by Amcho Yisrael, and even though he's saying that he's not worthy for the task. And then it continues. And then, of course, he says it more specifically. Afal pi she'eini chadai v'hogun l'choch. He literally says, even though I'm not up to this task, here, basically, hineni, here I am. And then we have an interesting thing in the text. We have lochein. What's interesting to me about the use of the word lochein is it suggests now we're already on the way to a consequence. What do you mean lochein? What did we do? We didn't do much. We stood up. The Chazan says that he's fearful. The Chazan says that he's here on behalf. He's coming into the palace slowly. He's here on behalf of Amcha Yisrael. And then he's already saying, and therefore. So I don't know, I find that it's interesting that we have a therefore so soon, but there is already a therefore. But now the text turns again. Avakesh Mimcha is I am request. It's now, in other words, it's in the singular again. He's going back to the singular. Now he is requesting from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now we start with the determination. We turn now. There are two concepts here. One which is the added dimension of the Avos. In other words, right away, just like in the Avos Tefillah itself, we right away turn not only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu in history. In other words, to each one of the Avos. But as you know in other places, like in Avos, we don't just say Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. We say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak V'Elokei Yaakov, because most of us know that we are now calling on the attributes of each one of those avos. In other words, we're calling on the God of history to save us because of them. And then we take it one step further. We're like building. First we're building on history. Now we're building, the next thing we're building on is what is often considered to be the climax in our davening. What if I had to say to you of the whole davening over the past 2 weeks, what is the climax? You would say the climax is Vayavor al panav vayikra Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun. So the chazan is right away calling upon God, who is a God of force and who is a God of strength, but who always turns out to be rachum v'chanun. So and why doesn't he need the rest? He doesn't need the rest. Not over here. Everybody knows the rest. And he's just reinforcing that he's the God of Israel. And then we take it one step further more. And we call upon Shakai Oyom Venora. In other words, we started with the God of history. Then it's the God who's Rachum V'chanun. And now it's almost as if we are calling on every attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu we can. This phrasing is not found in many places. I'll offer a little of my own suggestion here. Shakai is used where? On mezuzot. Shakai stands for, I believe, Shomer Dalsos Yisrael. If it doesn't, I made it up.
It's good anyway.
It sounds good, right?
Whether it's mine or someone else's.
In other words, we use now the term Shakai because he is watching each one of our houses. Because here, we're coming to him. So we're saying, Shakai Ayom Venora, that, you know, we're taking this now to the highest level, and now, we are asking for a simple thing. Hayeno matzliach darki, that the way in which we go, whether or not it specifically refers to our homes or our relationship with God, should be matzliach. So an asher ani holech, that we're on the way la'amod levachesh rachmim alai v'al shalchai, we're moving on the way. Now, one of the other times that we're moving in the Chumash is that Avram was called upon to move. But Avram was called upon to move, but he wasn't told where he's moving to. God tells him, Lech Lecha, and he's moving. You know, you ever think, like, it was pretty difficult for him to move. How do you get, you know, Avram didn't call Allied Van Lines and move. He had to move all his possessions. Supposedly he was somewhat of a wealthy man, to move to a place to have faith that God was sending him to the right place. So, you know, such a move, you know, is as difficult as thinking that you'd have to sacrifice your own son. We need a lot of emunah, because Hashem moves us from one place to the next, one thing to the next. And it's kind of the next stage in our development. So the other thing that happens over here is, again, it goes back to being personal. Asher anochi holech. It's the where I'm going to be matzliach. Lamod levakesh rachamim. Again, levakesh rachamim. Olai, it's exactly on me. Olai, it's very, very personal. Va'al sholchai, and it's personal onto those who sent me. So that ends, to some extent, that ends the first part of Hineni. What happens next is very interesting. First of all, it's very much in the first person. Second of all, it is a tefillah within a tefillah, that the chazan is basically saying that he not be held, that the kahal not be held responsible for on any level for the sins of the shliach tzibur. Even further, that the kahal not be humiliated by the sins of the chazan. And this is now a relationship, this is now a focus on the relationship between the chazan and the kol. Now, everyone knows that for the most part, this is said, the Chazan says this either to himself or in a very soft undertone, in almost any place. You know, I'll just add that over hundreds of years, there were some places where Hineni was considered to be such a personal prayer that the whole thing was said softly, and not out loud as in most places. There's also an interesting Chazonish, I don't want to call it a shtick, but because for some people it was quite serious, that the Chazan started in the back of the room at the door.
You still see that.
And, do you still?
Yeah, I've seen that.
And he walks down the middle aisle and until he gets to the middle where he'll say, Shakai Oyom Venora. So in other words, he's like, Mamish, here I am.
I'm bossy.
I'm coming. I'm literally coming down to see you and be with you. So these two, so we move now from blame to guilt and describe the Chazan as a careless sinner. Let's not make judgments on each other, not for me, not for them. This follows the earlier phrase, Va'afal pi she'eini chadai. I'm going now, I'm not good enough to be doing this. And since I'm not good enough to be doing this, Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't hold them accountable for what I have done. Okay? So we've already established that the Chazan is not good enough for this job, but now we have him because the congregation has chosen him. It's interesting that these two sentences suggest a level of self-deprecation, which really some might say, you know, for the responsibility that the Chazan has, it's pretty serious that he's now, you know, really putting it on the line that he is not the one. He's not the one to be doing this. Or maybe it's just that we should watch out for haughtiness and that there's a little bit of humble on behalf of everybody, because you know what? You're a Beinoni and your life is in the balance. And miyichya miyomus. So maybe you should have like a little bit of humility. Okay. The tefillah now, after this section, goes back to some more practical thoughts. Now it gets a little practical. V'kabel tefilosi tefilas zokein v'rogil. Like we said before, that the Chazan, he's saying that his tefillah should be accepted as an older person. And this means that since he's an older person, he's had more life challenges and experience, and his beard is full, and, you know, zokein v'rogil. Rogil means really someone who is, I believe it refers to the text. In other words, one of the challenges that the Chazan is going to have in the next 2 hours after this is that he's going to have to say a lot. And he's going to have kavana for a lot. So virogil means that even if he's doing it for the first time, he's had to practice for a long time in order to get the words out. I don't know if anybody's ever been, you know, since I've done this myself, since I'm age 19, and I'm up to year 45, I have not heard anybody else do this in a long time, except here or there. And, you know, if somebody asks me, how come you still do this yourself? You know, why don't you, you could do without the pressure. Now, this is tremendous pressure for me. Tremendous davening is tremendous pressure. I see it as tremendous pressure, both physical and spiritual. So I say, because you know what? I like to do it. In other words, I'm very honest. I like to do it. I don't need to daven every week, but I'm not yet ready to give up these 3 days because I feel I can offer something. So now, Kisvil Azokin Vrogil, and what I can offer is that I've done this many times before, so therefore the words come out the way they're supposed to. Ufirko noez akono megudol vikolo noim. So you know, you can't, there has to be kolo noim. And it goes to someplace else at the very end, which I'll get to. But the kolo noim, you don't want to hear someone on Yontif who doesn't have a sweet voice. So it's part of the example. And then what I find very, very interesting is umeurav bedas imabrios is where it ends. In other words, that the Chazan has to be somebody who's congenial with people. He, and so what is this go to? And I'll just give you the could be. So, you know, the whole tshuva season requires us to look within ourselves and to make an effort to do better in the path, and better than in the past. We specifically learn, you know, we say on Yom Kippur, Ki v'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tarischem mikol chatoseichem, lifnei Hashem titoru, and all of us have learned, starting from probably yeshiva high school, that Yom Kippur is mechaper lifnei Hashem titoru. But if you and I have had a fight, and I'm angry at you and you're angry at me, and we don't call each other before Yom Kippur to work out and resolve what happened between us, then really we're not, that's not mechaper, that you have to make an effort. So I see the umur of vadas im habrios, that if I am the kind of person who is working with people, then I'm the kind of person who will have taken Bein Adam LaChaveiro seriously, and I will have called you before Yantar. So this text goes quickly from being self-deprecating to a list of practical applications. It moves from arena to arena, from person to person, and it has interesting dissonances. In any event, the Chazan continues to pray Al Amcho Yisrael. Okay. Now we get to the next section. The next section brings an entire new dimension to the to tefillah. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm a student of who the Satan is in Yiddishkeit. It's not something that I know that much about. I know one thing, that there is a role that the Satan plays at this time of the year. And we know what that role is, because there are two other things that I can bring to your attention. One is, why don't we blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah? We're trying to confuse the Satan. The second thing is, why do we have to confuse the Satan? The Satan's not smart enough to know that we're just doing it to confuse him, you know? And then what do? We say psukim before tekiah shofar. And you know, kara satan. It's an alphabetical acrostic. It's an alphabetical acrostic of which it comes out Karasathan. We're mamish, even though we confused him yesterday, now we're going to another stage. We want to make sure he doesn't play any role and he's far away from the shofar blasts. And so we say the alphabetical acrostic that mentions the Satan. Here, we're going again. We're nervous about a role the Satan could play. And so we hope that the Satan will be just put aside, that we won't have to deal with him or it or whatever, and we move on. And interestingly enough, as we mourn, v'hilu du genu olecha ahava, u'fisha'enu techase b'yahava. Two things happen. We now introduce that our sins should be treated with love. Now all of a sudden, this is a whole new theme in Hineni is now love. And the interesting thing about love, first of all, the other thing is, it for the first time became dilugenu. It's the first time in Hineni that it became our, that we're now in the we plural, and ufisha'enu, that we're now all about we the congregation and the chazan together, and we have love. So what we see about love, what I thought of, there are two instances about love. There's an important bracha that's said in Israel every day, and here on Yontif, that the Kohanim say, the Kohanim brachas, the brachas among Israel, biyahava, that it's own. You don't just get a bracha from the Kohanim. You get a bracha with love, because love always has to have dual personalities. In other words, you could love yourself, but the love that Yiddishkeit generally talks about includes other people. You don't only love yourself. And so now we bring love into this. And the two times we find love are either in Birkas Kohanim or in in the Shema, before and after, right? But we say in Maariv, Ohev Amo Yisrael, loves the people of Israel, or in the morning, Habocher B'Amo Yisrael, B'Ahava. And then, as soon as we have the declaration of Kabbalah almost Malchus Shemayim, what's the first thing we have? V'Ahavta. Love. So love plays for us a significant role, and so we introduce the concept of love into the davening here, so that it will also help in terms of our focus on the theme. The next thing that happens is we have a very interesting thing. It says V'chol tzoraseinu v'inu yenu, that there is, of all the challenges and the tzoras that we have, hafachna lanu v'lechol Yisrael l'sasanu l'simcha l'chaim l'shalom, that there should be a great transformation. There should be a transformation. We should mamish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take the things that are challenges in life. He shouldn't just solve the challenges. That would be one level. You know, I'm ill, make me better. Give me a refuah shleima. No, he wants to take your challenges and he wants to create sason and simcha, and chayim and shalom. So, I find the interesting thing here, this might be a little push, but hafachna, hafach lanu, the use of the word hafach, the other place we find it, is in Purim. In Purim, it's benafochu. There's a transformation. We take what was going to be a war against the Jews to kill them, and now they're allowed to fight the war and kill the killers, right? So there is a transformation that happened at Purim. And what is this day? This day is called Yom HaKippurim. The other thing I can tell you that I do, which is very interesting, that's my little chiddush. You like? I thought it was. I'll tell you the other little thing that I do on the tomorrow night when I'm going to say the bracha of Shechayanu on Yom HaKippurim. I'm going to sing Baruch Atah. Not many people are going to get it. A few guys, they'll get it. So I think that's interesting. And of course, Ha'emes v'hashalom ehovu. Now we're talking about serious love because we have faith and peace are now, you know, tied up with this. And then we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to put a stumbling block in our tefillah. Now remember, you're going to say this very, very long tefillah with all the psukim, and it's really practical. In other words, the Chazan is basically saying, hey, listen, I need to get through this, and I need to get through it without the stumbling block. So one would think that Hineni would end here, and it would certainly be good enough. It's not exactly what happens. What happens is we now have really a tefillah within a tefillah. We now have an official, like, v'yi ratzon. You know, now it's going to a different level. And we have to again repeat, Ad Hashem Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak V'Elokei Yaakov. I want to tell you that if you look in the Kolbo Machzor, in this text, you will not see the name of God repeated three times. Right. It says, Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. I had a big problem with the change here because Rabbi Artscroll obviously decided that this text was the right text.
Well, you can see where he gets it from because it's from Shimon Esrei.
So he's decided that that's right. The reason I think it's not right is because we've been there. In other words, we don't need any more to call upon each of the different attributes. We did it once in the beginning of the tefillah. Yeah. So now this is like a reprise, you know, in music, in some songs. So you have the whole song, then you have a little bit, we go back and we say a little bit of the beginning of the song, and then we end the song, right? It's called a reprise. So here, you have the beginning of a new tefillah, and so that's what you're doing. But now, you are going much further here. What this is, I don't want to say this is buttering up HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this section, but what we're doing here is quite interesting. In other words, the way I'm singing this, and it's the same music for two different eras, is I'm singing, Okel HaGadol HaGibor VeHaNoro Kel Elyon. I am taking the phrase, and I am singing the music the way the phrase is meant to be sung. That is a climax at Kel Elyon. So that is that section. The next phrase is very interesting, because after Kel Elyon, we are not defining. We are looking at God's name as Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. Now everybody knows where that comes from. This is where what Moshe Rabbeinu was told, who God is, when he said, "What am I going to tell them?" And God goes, that I am who I am. Well, if I was Moshe Rabbeinu, I would still be scared out of my mind. But, you know, so I'm going to tell them, you are. What do you mean you are what you are? Because really, it's, in other words, the God's telling Moshe Rabbeinu here that, you know what? I hear the cries now. The time is up. It's time to go. It's the Loshonos of Geula. And you don't have to worry. I'm going to take care of it, and they will understand. The Jews in Egypt will understand Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, because that's going to be the way in which they see their future, that God is going to be there for them. So that's what we see, that Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, God will also be there for us. The same way he was there for the Jews in Egypt, he's there for us. Then, Shekol HaMalochim Shehem Palei Sfilos, I'll tell you, a lot of the years I didn't understand what are we doing with angels now. I mean, now we're taking, you know,
and there are those who skip this.
There are those who skip this because they're uncomfortable,
right,
about angels.
Right.
We're not, because it's all kind of quite angels. Are angels like God? Are they God? Are they not God? So what do I see? I saw like this. This is also mine. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, who did he consult with? What do we say? The Mefarshim say, "B'tzalmenu k'dmusenu." Why is it our? Because Nase Adam, right? We are making man. Who's we? I mean, that's one of the things they use, the Goyim, right? Mm-hmm. What do you mean it's we? So we is God did consult with the angels. And so since God consulted with the angels at such an incredible time, so now also God is, we want to call upon the angels to help us before the throne of God. And then, very interesting, as we begin to close the tefillah, we close, but before we close, we call upon everything. Now we take out all the stops. Kol ha-tzadikim v'ha-chasidim v'ha-temimim v'ha-yeshorim. We're now at the, and in other words, what I sang for you before, I will use the exact same music. And then I'll softly say, Kiyato shomeya tefila samcho Yisrael berachamim baruch ato shomeya tefilo. And in the end of Hineni, at the end of all of this, it's about Kiyato Shomea Tefila Samcha Yisrael Barachamim, that you'll hear the tefila of the people of Israel Barachamim. Because in the end, we have to have Barachamim. And there's one more interesting thing that I could tell you, that it is a little odd that after all of this, that the bracha is written without the Shem Hashem. Now, I think it's written, in other words, I think we've said it already. We said again, Hashem Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak V'Yakov. We said already, Hakel Agadol Agibov Anar Hakel Elyon. We already invoked everybody. I wanted to add one more thing. The Lashon of Kol HaTzadikim V'HaChasidim V'HaTamimim V'HaYishorim. You know where it is? Where else you say it? You said it today. So, at the end of Misha Ana in Slichas, it says, Misha Ana, Kol HaTzadikim V'HaChasidim V'HaYishorim V'HuYanein. Okay? Now, that fits right in. In other words, on behalf of the one who answers all of these, so you'll hopefully have Rachmanis on us. So I think that the Shem Hashem would have been is unnecessary here because we just did it already, and it's like, what, I don't know, because we say Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Tefillah three times a day, you know, generally, except 6 days a week. So why would we take out Hashem over here? So that's an interesting question. And then most of you know that in your congregations, the chazan often then says his own little tefillah here. And it's interesting, this tefillah is really, it repeats some of the things, but what it really says is, Shetitein li kol ore v'noim hayom, that God should give me a sweet, nice voice for today, and no, nothing, but v'al yifsak koli, no problems with my voice, my voice shouldn't stop, v'al yichar groni, and there shouldn't be any problems in my throat, and of course the quote is the same way the shofar is strong, I should be strong, and then we're ready to daven. Now we've been humbled, we stand nirash v'nivchad, we've said all that we have to say for what we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do for us, we've gone through all the relationships and all the practical pieces that we have to be aware of, and now we're ready to daven.
Some put this right before Ki Atah Shomei Tefillos, they inserted.
Oh, yeah, yeah, really? Yeah?
Yeah, I've read that.
So, listen, a lot of what I've shared with you is my own introspection into the tefillah, and I hope that you'll find the tefillah on Wednesday a little more focused and with much more meaning.